we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When the world around you is falling apart, what are you to do? The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Will Look to the Lord, a teaching through the books of Micah and Nahum. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Father, as we just get together this morning, Lord, we are thankful for your presence with us. We are thankful, Lord, for your great love for us. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us all we need, Lord, to accomplish whatever you have called us to do. And Father, I pray that you would meet us this morning. Father, that your word would be spoken and that you would be glorified. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray, Father, for people to come to know you, to follow after you, Lord. And you said, if my people who are called by my names will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. It's up to us, the church. It's up to us, if my people who are called by my name. And so, Lord, we thank you for this morning, and pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm trusting that you all put on your armor this morning, right? Everybody has every piece of armor on this morning. You took a moment and you figured it out and you got it all together and you're all dressed for warfare, right? In our little soft things, yeah. But did everybody hear on Sunday, Peter Warren? Yes. Okay, who did not hear? Okay, you can go online, refugefamily.com, look up last Sunday's sermon, and were you encouraged? Were you strengthened? Were you challenged? He spoke on spiritual warfare, putting on the whole armor of God. He talked about praying and sticking together with one another. And so we really need to pay attention to that, to what he has put there together. But first of all, we need to do our memory verse. So Linda's going to come up and teach us the memory verse for today.
Here we go. You know it, right? Yes. So, many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Micah 4, verse 2. Okay. That was once. Now you all do with me. Many. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Micah 4, verse 2.
Great job!
Oh, see how easy it is to memorize scripture. That's part of our morning time together. So, as we look into Micah this week in chapter 5, or 4, let's go to 4 first. I was thinking about the John Lennon song, I Can Only Imagine. imagine there's no heaven, no hell below us, no religion, no anything. Imagine nothing. Wow, how exciting is that? To imagine nothing. Okay, so for a moment, think about. Imagine no heaven. Just think about that for a second. Imagine no Savior. Imagine you have to pay for your own sin. That's what he's saying. And so when I came in and she was singing that song by Mercy Me, I can only imagine what it'll be like when I see him face to face. I can only imagine. I have nothing to tie it with. I have words in here that say a little bit of what it's like, but I can only imagine. And that's what we have before us today. I can only imagine what was going on in chapter 4. As it spoke of the things of the Lord. We started teaching through this book. We learned that no matter how dark the day is, the light of God's promises is still shining. No matter how confusing and frightening our circumstances may be, the character of God remains the same. No matter how hopeless our future may seem, in Him we can still find hope. And the book of Micah is divided into those three sections: retribution, restoration, and repentance. And we've moved out of retribution. We're moving into restoration as we move on through this book. Now, as we get through this chapter, the first part of it, the first five verses, are talking about the millennium. They're talking about that thing that was described in Revelation chapter 20. And it's talking about the millennium when there is peace everywhere. Peace everywhere. What is the millennium? It's a time when the devil is locked up for 1,000 years and everyone lives here on the earth in peace. How do I know it was during a time when the enemy was locked up? Because there was peace. Because there is no peace outside of God's direction. There is no peace outside of God. They had everything together. They did everything together. Everybody had everything that they needed. In the day that we live in now, we know that that is not the situation, is it? Everybody doesn't have everything that they needed, and those who have are not willing to give to those who have not. Of course, that's not any of us, but that is in general as we go across this teaching today. And so in verses 1 through 3, it's identical to Isaiah 2:4. And who said the right thing? Who said the right thing in this particular situation? I'm going to just stop for a second. And I'm going to pray again. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, for clarity of thought, for a mind, Lord, that is clear and thinking only of you. I pray, Lord, that you would take care of all those things that are a distraction. And Lord Jesus, just lay it at your feet, Lord God. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen. So, in the first three verses, it's almost a duplicate of what Isaiah said in chapter 2, verse 4. And there, so we look at that and we go, so is Micah copying Isaiah? Is Isaiah copying Micah? Who knows? There's nothing new under the sun, and everything that everybody has ever said has been said before. Agreed? There's nothing new. We put it together differently sometimes, but we're all saying exactly the same thing. And my thinking is that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a word be established. So here we have, in the mouth of two witnesses, this word will be established. So repetition is the key to learning, and that's what we need to have here. So we've already talked about that area of... So that section is going to be the millennial section. Then we have the other section of what's going on today. We have the other section that's going to go on in 100 years. So what we're going to talk about at the very end of this, I know I'm really ahead of myself here and I'm really not with my notes at all, but at the end of this, we're going to look at Micah, who said all of these things and none of them took place during his lifetime. And so he did not know for sure if it was God. He knew for sure it was God, but the other people would ridicule him, and we'll get into that when we move into that section. So, now it came to pass in the latter days. So in the last days, when did the last days begin? The last days began the day that Jesus was born. The last days will end the day that Jesus comes back. So that was the beginning of the last days. So now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine people flowing to the house of the Lord? People flowing to get into the family. When I think of the house of the Lord, I'm thinking family. It's the house of the name of the person. It's the house of God. It is the house of, it's the family of. They're running home to the family. And here they are, they're running home. All people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, which you know so well now, right now. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Do you know that's on the United Nations building? That particular part, they shall beat their swords into plowshares, is on the United Nations building. Well, that's very nice to look to that piece, but there's nothing about how to get that piece. And so it's a nice word to have up there. I'm so glad they have some kind of scripture up there, something to look forward to. But we need to be able to express to other people why we will have peace during that time. So what will be going on that time? So in the latter days, the last days, which we already talked about when they began. So here we're looking ahead. The mountains could be referring to the family of the Lord's household, the place where Jesus dwells. The place where Jesus dwells. We're going up to the place where Jesus dwells. Imagine this, that people from many nations would come and learn of the Lord and would walk in his paths. So that we would be right there, right now, today, to flock to hear the word of the Lord. I just, as we look at this, the day that we're living in, oh, that people would look to the Lord. Oh, that people would come to the Lord. Oh, that people would know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, that they would come to know him. And so we talked about the way that we know that this was during the millennium, during that time when the enemy is tied up and unavailable. And we know that the verse that speaks of peace and a prosperity, it wouldn't happen without that. But everyone shall sit, verse 4, but everyone shall sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. The mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. He said, this is the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be. I can put money on this because God said this is what was going to happen, and I trust God's word implicitly. All people will walk each in the name of their God, but everyone shall sit under his own fig tree, under his own vine. Both of these things create an arbor. They create something that is a covering, both of these things, vines and this particular type of tree, creates something that goes over and creates a covering for them. Everyone will have one of their own. Everyone under their own vine, everyone under their own tree. So will they have a vine and a tree? I don't know. But they will be covered. by what God has provided for them. Do you know that this whole thing was what is thought of to be true communism? That's what it's spoken of as. Because the poor have what they need, and the rich only have what they need. So they give to the poor, and everybody's on the same level, and everything is the same, and everybody everywhere is happy. And true communism, I hope somebody doesn't take this out of context when they put it up, but that sounds really good, doesn't it? And everybody would be at peace because everybody would be happy. But what happens? Somebody has to be in control. And if somebody is not in control, then we all fight against each other, right? Okay, yeah, got that. Okay, and so there will be universal peace and progress. Everyone, for all people, will walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. There will be universal peace, prosperity, and progress. God will take care of the people, and he will take care of the nations. There will be total disarmament. Total disarmament. There will be no need for, there will be no nuclear, no chemical, no germ warfare. The prisons will be emptied. There won't be any need for it. And the thing that all the nations will be disarmed, factories built for the manufacture of military hardware will be gone over to produce things that are for prosperity, that speaking of prosperity, that the people would have prosperity. In Christ, we have peace and we have prosperity. In verse 4, not everyone, but everyone shall sit under his own fig tree and his own vine. That was George Washington's favorite verse. That's what he thought that America should be. That that's what he wanted for America. Also, in it's the phrase is given to Herbert Hoover that a car in every garage and a chicken in every pot. Do you know he never said that? Nobody ever spoke that. It was their advertisement for the party. And so when it came up there, it was, he's going to provide a car in every garage and a chicken in every pot. So it was a promise that was never made by the person that they were voting for. Does that bring me to something we may have gotten through right recently? So the guarantee of this peace, though, the guarantee is because it came from the mouth of the Lord. It came from the mouth of the Lord. I can trust the word of God. I trust the word of God. We'll walk in the name of our God for eternity. For in that day, verse 6, in that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame, I will gather the outcast, and those whom I have afflicted. I will make the lame a remnant and the outcast a strong nation, so the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, even forever. So God says, I'm going to assemble the lame. What is the lame talking about there? It's talking about when Jacob wrestled with God. And he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. I would venture to say we all walk with a limp. Whether it is open or not, whether everybody else can see that limp or only God knows that it's there, we all have wrestled from time to time with the Lord. And we all have that lameness. We are all outcasts by someone. He didn't come for the self-righteous. He didn't come for the rich and the famous, although he came for people. He came for those who were the outcasts. He came for those who were lame and knew that they were. That's the difference. The rich seldom recognizes the fact that they have a need of a savior because they've done it all themselves. And so here they are in this place. God has got them. And he says, I will assemble the lame. I will gather the outcast. And those whom I have afflicted. Did anybody have a problem with that phrase? Those whom I have afflicted. God's told us in his word that there are times when he afflicted his people. It means that they went into judgment. He had to deal with them in a way that there would be change in their lives. You know, the sun shines on the just and the unjust. People go through trials. Everybody goes through trials. Whether you're a believer or you're not a believer, everybody goes through trials. Years ago, the girl who I've told you about her before, who suffered with depression, and when she came to God, she said, when she came to Christ, she said, I still have the same feelings, but now I know where to take them. So I'm still going through the same stuff, but I'm not handling it by myself. I'm handling it with the one. Did God heal her eventually? I believe he did. But she knew who her healer was. She knew who her God was. And she wasn't blaming God that she had to suffer. How often do we blame God because I'm suffering?
It's so hard. Do you know how cold it was in my house this morning? It was 40 degrees. Oh, it was so cold. I could hardly stand it. I had to put on more clothes.
And we want to blame God for those hard times in our lives. There's a song about that and a poem about when Jesus went to the cross and the person said how hard they've worked for God, what they've laid down, what they've sacrificed. And then Jesus told them, yeah, that's hard. I went to the cross. I bled for you. My side was pierced. Doesn't measure up, does it? So why should I not suffer, but only he should suffer? Why should I not suffer in this world? God has not promised us skies always blue or flowers strewn pathways all our lives through, but he has promised us that he'll walk with us through it all. And there are times when he has to afflict us. I know I've shared it with you before, when I broke my foot. The Lord had been talking to me about slowing down. He'd been talking to me. Yep, I agreed with him. I agreed with him. I thought that was a good idea. I should slow down. I should do that. But then as I walked through this time, I realized that at the moment that I broke my foot, at the moment I broke my foot, I knew that that was God. I knew that that was God. Did he mean to just make me fall and scare me? No, I think it was meant to be that way. Because I depended on him. I needed to depend on him more. And so he got my attention. So I don't know if you don't feel that way. I'm sorry. So sometimes God has to afflict us to get our attention. So in verse 7, I will make the lame a remnant. He will always have a remnant. Always have a remnant. And the outcast a strong nation. And so the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion. And from that now on, even forever. And so we'll be with him forever. God will always have a remnant. The tower of the flock refers to Migdaleder, the tower of Edar in Genesis 35:21. This tower was near Bethlehem where David was raised. So the thing to look at here, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion refers to the citadel where David reigned. And by these references, he totally expected David and Solomon's reign to come back again, for the reign of David and Solomon's family to reign again, which would eventually happen when Jesus was born. And Jesus is our king. And now in verse 9, Now, why do you cry out loud? Is there no king in your midst? Has your counselor perished? For pangs have seized you like a woman in labor. But in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in birth pangs, for now you shall go forth from the city, you shall dwell in the field, and to Babylon you shall go. There you shall be delivered. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. And so now Micah brings them to the present. Why are you crying? Don't you have a king? Don't you have a counselor? Jeremiah 8:19. Listen, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Was their king not there? They didn't notice that he was there. They felt like Jacob in Genesis 28:16. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How many times have we looked back on a situation and we said, the Lord was in this place and I just didn't know it. He was here and I was complaining the entire time that he was here. And we didn't know it. He is with us always. And so they had birth pangs and they had pain because they didn't see it. They had birth pangs and they had pain. And where there are birth pangs, the birth of something or someone is going to happen. Where there are birth pangs, there is going to be evidence at the end of it. There's going to be something that's going to be birthed from that. For them, it was going to be a time in Babylon. And they would come out of Babylon victorious. But in that time in Babylon, the people would look at Micah and say, what are you talking about? Assyria is the one that's in charge of everything. Babylon wouldn't come up until 612 BC. Until 100 years later, Babylon would come into control. 100 years later, long after Micah was ever gone. And he spoke it anyway because he knew he was speaking the words of God. How did Micah know that he was speaking the words of God? We've already talked about it. How did he know? Because he invested the time to listen. And he knew God. He knew that God was directing him. And so those birth pangs, they must have thought him crazy. That would be a full century. And yet the prophecy came with a promise that there you shall be delivered. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. He's telling them, you're going into hard times. Even when we speak of that verse in Job, where there's going to be some things happening. The verse that the Lord gave me, I'm not saying he gave it for anybody else, just me. But it came with a promise of something better. He said, yes, there's going to be pain, but look what's going to happen afterwards. The Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. And he did just that. The persistent, prevalent idolatry brought about Judah's downfall. The persistent and prevalent idolatry brought about Judah's downfall. But in Babylon, the ancestral home of idolatry, the Jews were forever cured of it. I wonder if it's a little bit like, do you remember the smoking clinics where they made you smoke and smoke and smoke and smoke and smoke until it made you sick so that you wouldn't want to smoke anymore? That's what was happening in Babylon. They had all of those idols, that everything was around them. They were always in their faces. And there they would be delivered from that. And they were delivered from that. When the Babylonian captivity ended and the Hebrew children came back to the promised land, they were devoted to the scriptures and looking for the Messiah. Oh, that I could say to you, that was the last time they ever did that. But we all know the book of Judges, and we all know how people are. We all know how I am. Well, you all don't know how I am, but you know how you are. And We fall and we keep getting up. A righteous man, though he falls, keeps getting up. He keeps getting up. That's the key, ladies. When you fall, keep getting up. The only time that you can lose is when you decide to not get up. Don't get up. Give up. Just give up. But we don't do that. Oh, that we would be in that, allow God to lead us in his paths. In verse 11, now also many nations have gathered against you. So we're talking about now also many nations have gathered against you who say, let her be defiled and let our eye look upon Zion. Let us take it all. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, nor do they understand his counsel. For he will gather them like sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron, and I will make your hooves bronze. You shall beat in pieces many people. I will consecrate their gain to the Lord and their substance to the Lord of the whole earth. God himself will gather their enemies like sheaves to the threshing floor. What happens at the threshing floor? Separate the wheat from the chaff. For me, that gives some indication that even in the enemy, there might be some people that would give their lives to Christ. Separating the wheat from the chaff. Before the restoration, the Lord will gather the Gentile nations together to judge them. Israel will be his instrument to punish them, and their wealth shall be devoted to the whole earth because they didn't know the plans of his people. If you had been here on Sunday, you would have heard Peter talk about the fact that the enemy does not know God's plans. The enemy does not know. The devil does not know what God has planned. He doesn't know the thoughts of God. And so I jumped ahead again. That was in the wrong place. Now I don't know where to go. So how do we use what we've learned already? How do we use this that's talking about the future? How do we use this that was talking about the past? How do I use this today? Because if you walk away from here and you don't have some idea of how you can use the scripture that is being taught today, then I have failed, and I have failed miserably. If we can't walk out of here and use the scripture that we have today, so a few things here. So, and they all begin with now. So right now, walk in his ways. Now, walk in his ways. Now, become a blessing and a peace giver to others. Now, become a blessing and a peace giver to others. Now, know that you have prosperity. Now, know that you have prosperity. You have prosperity of your soul. You have prosperity. You have all things through Christ who strengthens you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's given me prosperity in that. I know that God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I need not fret. Now I realize that all this starts right now and it continues to eternity. All of this starts right now and goes on throughout eternity. So let's practice living for God at every moment. Now, as I said earlier, Micah's prophecy would not be fulfilled until well after his death. Yet he knew by faith that he had heard from God, and he spoke those things that God told him to speak. What do you think his reactions were when people didn't believe him? Frustration, anger, who knows what he felt? He knew that he was speaking the word of God. So he had that by what? By faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Would you turn with me quickly to, I don't know why I say quickly, Hebrews 11. Hebrews just before James in the New Testament. And in Hebrews 11, starting with verse 3. So we've already read verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Down to verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I can't see who made this world. I can't see it, but I know that he did. By faith I know that, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. It is that faith that I have. I see the finished product. It's somebody created it. If you want to take it all the way back, okay, so this the planets all hit together and they made new planets, and on those planets made new people all by themselves. Okay, fine. You know what? If you want to go that far, tell me who created the first planets to hit together. Because there has to be a creator. There has to be a creator. You can go all the way back there. But at one point, you have to say, someone made this. What was it, the story of can you create man? And, you know, we can do so many things. We can clone things now, and we can grow people in petri dishes and all of these things. We can do that. And God says, okay, you go ahead, make a person. Okay, yeah. Or he talks about how he created Adam. And so the other person said, okay, yeah, I can do that. Okay, so, and he said, could you give me some dirt? Oh, no, you have to get your own dirt. Because I created the dirt. So you don't have, you have to have something to start with. So we need God. So by faith, verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For behold, before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. When I seek you with all my heart, I will be found of you when you search for me with all of your heart. Diligently seek him. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place where he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose maker and builder is God. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was well past the age, because she judged him faithful. She judged God faithful who had promised. She judged God, the one who promised her. Micah spoke in faith because he had God's word to speak. He could speak in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So let's just believe in the Lord. Let's not argue with him. Let's let him be in charge. Let's let him lead us. Let's let him guide us. Let's let him be in charge of everything. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness and your love for us, Lord. I thank you, God, for standing beside us, Lord, for your strength. I thank you, Lord, for the infilling of your Holy Spirit, Lord. As we walk this walk of faith, Lord, we need a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. And so I pray for these ladies right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would come and anoint them afresh with the power to become your witnesses. Lord, the time that we're living in now, we need that strength more than we've ever needed it before. To be reminded, Lord, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but to be bringing down strongholds in the heavenly places. That spiritual warfare, Lord, remind us to put on our whole armor. Remind us to walk as one, to uphold one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. When we see a straggler, to grab them up and bring them into the fold, Lord. Because you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to know you as Savior. And Lord, it is beyond us why you would die for us. It's beyond me, Lord. I don't know, maybe other people feel that it was justified. Lord, I thank you that you would lay down your life for someone such as me. And Lord, it's such a wonderful gift that I just can't wait to share it with the next person I talk to. Lord, give us boldness to share in these last days. We are living in the last of the last days, and we thank you, Lord, that you are with us, that you love us, that you have gone before us, that you have cared for us, that you will carry us through, that you will take us through the days of Babylon, that you will, we will come out on the other side victorious because we walk with you. And Lord, please, I pray for Christians throughout this whole United States, Lord, to be on their knees before you, that we would all humble ourselves and pray and seek your face, praying, recognizing that we have need, seeking your face, looking at you eye to eye, and turn from our wicked ways. So that you can hear from heaven and so that you can heal our land. Father, I pray for those who are in leadership most of all, Lord, that they would come to know you as their Savior. Lord, if there's anybody who needs to be removed, that you would remove them. If there's anyone who needs to be raised up, that you would raise them up. We're in your hands, Lord. We're not in the hands of a president or a governor or any other leader. We're in your hands, and we're safe. And we thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. In the power of your name.